Good evening. Welcome back to the Turnout Podcast. It's season 4, episode 1. We do it all over again in an off-season which had players departing, players arrival, new owners. It had everything. This might take a little while to go through everything that's happened. To go through it tonight, though, we have Donal Hanks and Gally as well. Gentlemen, how are we?
Good evening. Good evening.
Good to see you all back.
Well, I don't know about that, but look, sure. We're good to see each other. I don't know if everybody else watching is happy to see us, but yeah. Look.
Yeah. Chris is happy he's not doing this by himself, I guess. So, yeah.
And this, what else do you want to see the night before Valentine's? These heads.
Yeah.
The ball red on.
Look, lads, it's been, when we think back of it, before we came on live, you know, Gally, we were going through, actually, how many players have we signed? You know, we were trying to add all up and look at it. There's always one or two players to get past. I suppose we'll start way back when. It seems like a long time to have any changes. But Gally, like new owners in, you know, we've got Brian Ainscough in as our new owner now, after the lads in Stat Sports and Andy Connolly have departed. I suppose that was the first move that was needed. It seemed to take a long time to happen as well, but you know, it did finally happen.
Yeah, it seemed to be. I don't know how long it actually talk in business terms or whatever the handle was, but I think the build up to it, the people talking, the rumors. Now you look back now and it's, you know, it's not a distant memory, but you know, at the time it's really long, like you say, not so much now. You're glad it's over the line and sorted, but I think the rumors have been there for so long that, you know, and even Brian admitted like he only got involved and kind of in the negotiations even just weeks out from it. So I think because it dragged on a lot, maybe like July, August, there was different rumors. I think every business from everywhere, including Handy Stores in town, was buying the team at one time at one stage. But it's done now. You know, we've got to wipe everything out. Look, we obviously, when we started our podcast, it was a new era as well then, but we're now 4 seasons in, and unfortunately we're starting the season with another set of owners. But this one seems to be, you know, I listened back to it. I wasn't at the Q&A in person, but I listened back and he seems to be very forthright. He seems to be very, you know, he won't have all the answers, but I do think he seems to be someone when he wants something, you know, he's not rude about it, but he seems to be able to go and get it. He points out really obvious things, like we spoke about it on the chat, you know, the pitch is not in use, you know, the AstroTurf and the YDC, simple little things that haven't been utilised in the area. And yeah, look, it's, you know, not to go too far down the line, but you know, you got to be optimistic. You know, we're going to use that term in quotes, but I mean, because every year we start with this optimism and then we're cut to Friday night and it's a different face altogether. But but no, look, I think everybody now knows probably where they stand. Mm-hmm. I'm probably more looking forward to this season, I suppose, than I probably was last year in a weird way. Although we've mentioned all the different signings, we'll get through them as well. But yeah, look, I'm looking forward to just kicking off now. I mean, it hasn't been the massive build-up that we're normally anticipating. I think we've kind of flown under the radar a little bit. There's not that there's nothing expected, but I don't think it's, you know, we get down to where we're going to be in the league or where we think we're going to be, but I don't think we're going to be too worried early on what we're going to be doing. I think it's just good to get the season started and see what these players are going to bring for Stevie and the boys on the pitch.
Yeah, look, Donal, it's another new season coming in and more new owners all over again. We've been here before, haven't we?
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, getting my head around this now, getting on tonight and trying to remember, like, where we were at the start of last season and where we were at the start of the season before that. And there does seem to be a little bit of, history seems to be repeating itself, that we're getting excited and trying to figure out, you know, what our 11's going to be on the first day and how this whole season's going to pan out. But it's definitely, I think, optimistic 24 is how it flies out. But then, that's all we can be.
Recovering, so final big shout out to you, pal.
I know we're in, because it's a clean slate in a sense, because the club's changed hands and there's been a decent turnover of players. I think all we can really be is just optimistic and like to look forward to Jimmy Cullen bagging 25 goals, stuff like that. Like, I think we're all pretty realistic at the same time. Like, we're going to go in expecting good things, but we're all going to be realistic at the same time too, right?
You've hit the nail on the head there, Donal. Good things. We're not looking for great things. We're just looking for good things. We're just middle of the road. Keeping it sensible this year, I think.
So if we take the owner situation, like, is it good that he's come in? I suppose when Brian came in and he didn't, you know, Gally come in and say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. We need to do all of these things and, you know, promise the sun, moon and stars. And that doesn't happen. The priority is still, we need new lights. We need a new pitch. That's, you know, it's passed for this year. That's all coming at the end. But I feel this season now is the time where the club really needs to rally everyone in behind us. And, you know, when we, as fans, start contributing to these things, and we can all say that we helped these grander plans to come, because we know there's been problems trying to seek funding previously. Brian said in his talk with the fans in the Lily White Lounge that night, he did say that he, from chatting to local councillors and stuff like that, he doesn't see that being a stumbling block, and the fact that there's nearly 80 years left on that lease too, that's a long time to be still, you know, to have nothing happening, and also a long time for a lease that's not going to financially cripple the club either. But something has to start happening. We have to start getting in on some of these sports capital grants and for infrastructure grants kind of going forward too.
Yeah, you can't, like, how long have we sat? You know, and I understand maybe 10, 15 years ago, Oriel Park was an issue then, but everything's kicked on now. The league's a different level now. The infrastructure, you'd hope, is going to be different. The players that are coming in are better players. People have more of an eye on it, since not just what Stephen Kenny done in Europe. You know, you have Michael O'Neill back to Shamrock Rovers. You've, you know, Bradley. I know Donal doesn't like to mention those boys, but we're getting in early so I can get them out of the way of the season. But everything's kicked on a gear, and you know, we're all very guilty of having not kicked on at all. Like, you know, I mean, infrastructure-wise, facility-wise, and that's always going to haunt us. And I've said it a million times, nobody knows worse than Dundalk fans, or better than Dundalk fans, how bad Oriel Park is. We know this already. But I just to go back to your point of what Brian had said, yeah, he hasn't come in and said, we're going to do this, A, B, C, and D. But you can tell he's obviously got this plan in mind, and he's maybe going to come at it from a different angle than what other people have tried. You're hoping with his business now, you know, he's obviously involved with Kerry as well, and he's got business out in the States as well. But I just think, you know, like, I think for the very first podcast we ever had, we were talking about fans getting involved. Yeah. And in fairness, fans have gotten involved, but there just hasn't been anything from the club side to say, right, let's come in, let's do this, let's make a plan. There's been murmurs of different things when Brendan Ogle started, when we got involved in 1903. But I think this year now, there seems to be a bit more of a, I don't want to use the word want, but there seems to be a bit more of a kind of a cohesion between people. And, you know, he's talking about local councillors. He doesn't think it's going to stand in the way. But he's not been, you know, what's the word looking for? He's not been bullish about it. It just seems to be normal practice for him. He says, no, this isn't going to be an issue. We'll just try and sort this out and blah, 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 blah. But for a club on the infrastructure side, I think we're going in the right direction now. I think for years we've kind of said, oh, well, it's going to be done. Stats are going to do this. Peak are going to do this. And it was never going to be done. But I do think we are getting somewhere now. And, you know, I know Martin has an interview in the paper a week ago, like, you know, we're not going to get a grass pitch. You know, it's going to be, a redo of the artificial, which isn't ideal, you know, but, you know, there's not really a lot you can do. But he has a point in that, you want the Women's National League team, if they get that far, the youth players to be playing on this pitch. You don't have to go and play somewhere else. So you understand that there's a lot of football because there's only one pitch there, but that's where infrastructure comes in. And you hope that, you know, I don't know what they can do to the side of the pitch there, or, you know, where they train, if something can be done there of a top-class facility to play the youths on. But, yeah, I think, you know, over the next couple of seasons, in particular this year, I think there'll be a lot of stuff done this year, you know, kind of off the pitch, underneath the carpet, I suppose, you know, that won't be making the big headlines that will plan for next year. Obviously, you know, they've got another year on the pitch, but I just think there's this kind of, look, I'm very guilty of kind of coming on early in the podcast in the year and saying, oh, well, you know, as John had put it, optimistic 24 and getting ahead of ourselves completely. But it just seems to be a little steady gradual. It doesn't seem to be like, right, let's get us to here. You know, like, to get us really up the top from nothing. It just seems to be a bit of it could be a steady season for us on and off the field. And yeah, I just think, I'm not saying he's the only man that could have done the job, but he's the right catch for us, I think, just at the right time. Yeah, I think he's done really great work with Kerry FC, albeit a different level. But I just think he suits us, what we need down to the ground, because they're not looking for moon and stars up in Oriel Park. We're not looking for, you know, it's simple, basic stuff we're looking for. Like, we're proper football fans. Like, and like every League of Ireland club is, but I think people, you know, wanting the 15,000, 12,000 seater stadium, we wouldn't fill the seats. Let's be really
Look how long it's taken. to try to get the
ground. Like you've read about, I've even read about Finn Harps in the last hour there online. Finn Harps, if they don't get a stadium, they could be out of business. You know, like you just start kind of measuring what we're thinking, but gradual steps is all we're looking for. And I think Brian and the crew he's put together, Peter Halpin as well, the commercial side of things, I think they'll do wonders for the club over the next kind of 12, 24 months.
Donal, from all the owners and everything we've had previously, the fact of having an owner who has family in the construction industry, have we finally thought, hang on a second, if we need something built, we might need someone who knows how to build them. Is this the final piece of the jigsaw to finally get work done, do you think?
that was all we needed. I think the key thing is just for goals that are being set to be realistic goals. I think Frank put that up there, that he is pretty realistic about what we can actually achieve and what we can actually do. Like Gaddy's saying, like I don't think anybody's expecting massive things, but we're expecting something. Like they need, even just the simple fact of saying that the place is a mess and getting the place cleaned up is like, well, good, because it did need a cleanup. And there's little bits like that that can be done along the way to improve things. If he knows people who are willing to come in and build a stand for next to nothing, then that's pretty amazing. But yeah, there you go. There's a good comment.
I've got a point here.
That's the thing. Like they have, we just have to make the most of all of the avenues that are available to us, you know, and available to him. But I think it is just making sure that we're doing everything realistically, and that we're keeping to whatever plan that we have, a long-term plan for improving the place. But yeah, if he does know people, that'd be amazing. There's a few construction things we could all do with if they're looking for work, his family. Like there's a couple of jobs I can think of doing out the back there, and one or two things you can come up with.
A town end gantry. I've been looking for one since we started this. A town end gantry would be unbelievable.
You know, even Kieran mentioned there, you know, that Brian did say it at his thing, you know, maybe putting temporary structures even on the town end, having some temporary seating similar like we've seen in the mono stand with bows. The thing about all of those things is at least it'll add to the capacity on the match day experience, which should also increase our revenue, because the alarming thing when we've seen all the stats come out of the attendance figures across the league, there's one which kind of looks stagnated somewhat, or maybe even going in the reverse trend of everyone else, and that is Oriel Park and Dundalk. Everyone else has great growth and we don't. Now you could say we're coming off a big high from real successful seasons with Stephen Kenny and stuff, but let's be fair, if we put in these extra structures that have a roof over them, with it, like it might just attract more people up to Oriel Park to get more money in to make the vast improvements that's needed down the line also. You know, I think the likes of Jack and that mentioning, you know, we'd love a grass pitch. I think we'd all love the grass pitch, but I short-term wise, that's definitely not going to be feasible. The interesting point, Gally, as well, you know, Brian mentioned the ton of other resources around the town. Could the club tap into other pitches and stuff around the town? Yeah. And maybe that's where other underage clubs end up playing under the Dundalk bracket then. You might have the girls might play in a completely different pitch instead of Oriel Park as well, which might allow us to get some work done, because that's what's going to happen for us to make.
And over the years, you've seen, like, I know the under-19s, I think Jason McConnell was under-19s when it went to Glenmuir last year and played a couple of games there. Balogun, like the dog famously would have trained it in Balogun once or twice. Key Celtic's a great facility. I can't offer the bond shot because you're not good enough to play on it. But the grass is terrible, so you can't go down there. But I mean, what a sight. Like, even for a local team to bring down a women's national team, or men's, doesn't really matter. That kind of caliber of opposition down at your ground. Now, whether or not local clubs will thank us for even suggesting it, you know, because it's a lot of football happening, you know, over the next couple of months on those pitches. But it's something, and it's a way of getting into the community. It's a way of getting, like, I'd rather, you know, the artificial facility is fantastic. But for young kids, I just can't have it. Like, we've the Bells. I know I'm cutting off different conversation, but we train and we're having a war done. It's a great facility. But every week, 2 hours a week, kids, I just don't like the grass. There's a bit more give in the grass, and that's kind of what you want it. And let's face it, it looks better on camera and everything. But, you know, if they can use the facilities and clubs are willing to help them out, you know, I think the facility beside them at training like there's enough in there for a pitch. Now, I know it's a training facility for the lads, the senior team, but you know, they've got to utilize everything they have. They've also got the bit behind it. They don't have it, but there is a gap there. They could maybe talk to someone about it. But yeah, look, you've got to use whatever's at your, you know, at your disposal. And you know, if it means paying a yearly fee of a couple of €100 to clubs to say, look, come down, you know, open your coffee shops if they have one. Glenmuir is one down there. You know, there'll be ones built. Boys can sell coffee and make a bit of money for the club. Getting your League of Ireland teams down from all over the country coming to play in your facility, why not?
Yeah,
within reason, obviously. You don't want them to absolutely wreck the place either, because it's a lot of work on at the grassroots. But yeah, you've got to utilize everything. And you know, Brian seems to be that kind of man. He seems to be a bit of, you know, community kind of advocate, and wants to kind of, I'd be interested to see how he gets on with the 1903 and how discussions go with them during the year. And he seems to be very accommodating from what Frank's saying and a couple of comments from Kieran Callan. So yeah, look, it's, you've got to use what's on your doorstep. And you know, why not? You don't have to keep everything up on the Carrick Road if you can kind of branch it out to the wider community. And it gets people involved. Like you were just saying, Stephen Kenny, the crowds were serious when Stephen Kenny was there because they were winning games. Now, you can like that or dislike that, but you know, you need fans like that. And you need, you know, if we take even the GEA, that the stadium that might never be out the road, that was a 12,000 seater stadium? They would have packed that out. Absolutely, yeah. Packed that out, because it's new, it's different. And Oriel Park will do the same if they get the basics right, like the little thing behind the town end, similar to the mono stand and Bose. Simple little things that, because people will come up for general just nosiness. Now, if they've never been up, that's just the way. And then you keep them there when you get them there. And that's what it's all about. You know, you got to make Friday nights, you know, a big night in the dark. You know.
Kidnapping that, though, isn't it?
It is kind of, yeah. Just get a bus ride.
Yeah, we want to cross over into...
Yeah, like, not, we want to close crime. The gates and lock them in, yeah, no.
Yeah. They are allowed to leave at some point.
Just for the 90-minute window there, I'll just be clear. Yeah.
You could pay to leave then as well.
So. Yeah, look, it's got it. Look, it's... And you've got your coffee facilities and stuff. And look, it's all, you know, match day experience. But, you know, something like that, you got to get, you know, rally the troops, I suppose. That's probably the way we're doing it. But... Yeah, look, and obviously we know there's a capacity limit, but I mean, let's fill it, because it's. I don't know when the last time we sold out Oriel Park.
Donald, like, we're talking about kind of small improvements that can go a long way. Like, is that what you think we should be for this year? Like, obviously, with the two main overall goals, as I mentioned, the lights, the pitch has to be addressed later on. That's a big undertaking, but if you saw these small changes, I mean, he did mention, you know, having the disabled area at the side of the pitch isn't far from ideal as well. He wanted to have more, you know, a better location for that. That's, you know, he's hoping to have that up and running in 2 weeks' time as well. Like, if you've seen these smaller improvements, would that be enough to say we're going in a more positive direction?
Yeah, look, I think this is going to have to be, there's a few things at play here. Like, I think Flano mentioned that there's clubs that aren't performing well every year, and they're growing in terms of attendance. I think the community aspect of this is really, really, really important, and it all links together. So it's having the facilities around Oriel that we can invite. Like, there, I always remember there's been a thing in Cork games of like a section that you could bring a class of kids up to. Like, there was a family section that they could sit in, which was like an amazing idea, and we obviously don't have anywhere that we could do that at the minute, but like something like that would be amazing. You think for the bank holiday games, like against Drogheda and stuff like that we have coming up in the season, to make a really, really big deal out of there being a derby game on, I think it's 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon or something. Like, it's perfect time to get, or sorry, on a Monday afternoon, not Sunday, but it'd be a perfect opportunity to make a big deal out of getting families to come in if we had facilities for them on that day. But it's also like, all of the facilities and all that stuff is great, but to Gally's point, I think if we get things right on the pitch, that then starts to feed into creating another, it's just another way of bringing people back to the club and getting people more interested and more excited. And I think there's an awful lot of good that will come from having a team performing well on the pitch and getting good results winning big games at home, which we have done like in the last few years. So we just need to build on that. But I think getting things right on the pitch is incredibly important this year, because we've seen the way the slight downward trend that we're seeing with attendances. And I think we need everything to work in our favor for the next year or so to try and bring everybody back and then reach out to more people to come in. And it's not saying we can't do one without the other, but everything's going to have to work in unison, I think, for the next year or two, just to try and get us in a much better spot so that when we are challenging, say, for titles or for playing European games, we have structures there in place. We have facilities there in place to make these big match days like must-see events that we want to bring people in from outside of the town as well. Like, we want to bring people in from all the surrounding areas. I know we've always been talking about that sort of thing as well, but it's all going to have to work together, I think, in the next couple of years, which it's all difficult to do. I mean, nothing's going to be easy considering where the rest of the league has gotten to in terms of facilities and everything else. But yeah, we all need to work together, like the community aspect on the pitch and then infrastructure behind the scenes. Like, there's a lot of work to do, but I think we have people in place now that actually are going to, that are making it their business to go ahead and do that, which is great.
Yeah, I think Flamel's just agreeing with you there. You know, things like free kid tickets in schools and things like that, getting schools and, you know, interacting with the club again. You know, that's, you know, I remember being in primary school and having to design a new Dundalk jersey. You know, we'd all make them and stuff. Probably done nothing. Yeah. It was probably hung over or something. Look, we're supposed to do, but it was great crack. Like,
but there's even things like having like a competition to design the cover of the program or something like that that you could stick around schools and get people interested. But we also could reach out to the Mary Wallopers and get them to sponsor our third kit this season and get them to play at halftime or get them to play before a game or something. And
No,
but they're gonna come back.
Well, they're gonna come back, but they're not as shot cool.
Well, I'm going to end of it.
I'm just writing down your ideas in case the dog takes them. I'll take them for the belt. I'm just writing down all your ideas. But even things like Paul Carlin said it there. The Derry Hill is one of the best. That'll be one of the best master trucks. I don't know who's bought it. I don't know what it cost. I don't know what they're doing to it. I know it's going to be like a boutique hotel. But you think of how many times have we said this on this podcast? Away fans come up or away team comes up, stays the night in the hotel. Teams from Cork. Stays across the road. Now, I don't know whether they want to stay right across at the Battle of Dock and Royal Park. But, I mean, fans interacting outside. I don't know what the plans are for it. I didn't really read too much into it. But, like, that kind of – that pre-match fan hub type, you know, that the car park's huge. You can open it up and think of, you know, something – it'd be great just to get that kind of angle on the road as well. So you're just not walking, you know, petrol station. As great as it is, you've got that little kind of potential music or DJ area or something. Now, I don't know. Look, whoever owns it will decide that. But it's something just a little bit different for fans and just getting the atmosphere going before the matches, you know. Not that there's anything wrong with Mickey Duffy on the tunes, but it's just, you know, it's just something a little bit different that we want to get. You know, the younger crowd, as I say, lads, talking to those old hoagies.
I don't know that boutique hotel screams pre-match drink before.
No, it doesn't. No, and it's only when I was talking, I was like, I think I read something about a boutique hotel on your own.
It could match another industry out in Blackrock. I'm not saying who the owner of that one could be, but it might match in with that. I think Ola Crilly's coming up with a couple of jerseys for us here. We could all do a big gig.
There we go. You know, yeah.
There's our third.
What a gig there on your doorstep. I know, like, they're probably not on our doorstep, but, like, you know, like Mary Wallopers, you've David Keane, like, you know, you've serious potential there, and you know it's that. And it's, I don't know what way that concert works or a gig works on the pitch, but I mean, even artificial surface, I don't know what how you work that, but I mean, it's there as an option. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, there's. I think it's getting it all. Like, don't say, it's getting it all sorted and getting people to kind of buy into what you're selling.
Right, you know. There, would you agree with that? You know, taking, you know, a season of mediocrity off on the pitch, but having much better structures off it.
It depends on what your definition of mediocrity is, though, because you can't get relegated.
No,
you know, that's not mediocrity. Well, it depends on y'all.
It depends. No, it depends what your mediocrity is.
There's definitely a light bulb with that. Yeah, because, you know, we want success, but at the same time, we don't want it to come at a price in 2 years' time, 3 years' time. We're sitting here again on season 5 of the podcast, season 6 of the podcast, and we've a new owner, lads. We can have that every couple of seasons. It means the middle, exactly. That's it.
Yeah, but not to Dundalk, it doesn't. Whatever.
But if we can get stuff, I think we're probably looking at one of those leagues. I don't think we're going to be going massively full pelt, but I mean, off the field stuff has got to be, you know, we're on our 15th owner in 12 months. I don't know what we're on, but I mean, we got to get this. I mean, somebody's got to hit this right. And I think the people are there to help him and help the club, and like Peter Halpin being involved as well, local business, former general manager up there, all kind of stems into that. And you know that's it's all there for us. You know, it's all there for the club. There's no excuse. People will help them. There's no excuse.
That's the thing.
Yeah, mediocrity of the top three. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just seeing, you know, different ideas starting to fly in here from different people. And it's great to see all the interaction, because I actually thought, with no pizza tonight or anything, lads, no one will be getting on for anything. But like, people are talking about getting kids back in at, you know, half time again. You know, Orla's talking about having gigs. Frank talking about building an atmosphere in Oriel Park, you know, just flags and stuff like this, and outside, you know, making a real atmosphere that you get, I suppose, when you, if you're going over to England and stuff like that, and for any of the Premier League grounds, it's something you kind of notice there. Roads are closed off, and it's, you know, food vendors and stuff the whole way up. So it's definitely something that I think the club could be looking into, and just create that little bit more of an environment. And then, like I say, it's all about getting more people interested and wanting to attend Oriel Park more often, and that can hopefully generate more revenue for the club down the line. Just before I forget, sorry, Kieran, yeah, I knew that would happen. Frank did just say that the 1903 are holding their AGM on 2nd of March at 1 p.m. in the Lily White Lounge. So everyone, who wants to attend, obviously, 1903 members, and I'm sure people who are non-members as well, who maybe just have an interest in the club, could also come up just to find out what opportunities and that's going on, and maybe get involved. And I think something, Kieran had something, could the Shedside Army, Tyrak Gang, 1903, could they all come together as well to come up with some ideas for the club? Absolutely, I think that's a great idea of getting those all together. And it might be worthwhile for the club to maybe actually set up something like that, to go through and get these kind of, to get the kind of big groups together, big groups of fans up in Oriel Park together, and have them working for a common cause. I suppose the other thing, and you know, I was asked to mention it, and it's probably something we'll probably mention going forward as well, you know, there is the Dundalk FC development lotto now going forward each week as well, where that's raising money directly for the redevelopment of Oriel Park in different areas. So look, I suppose that's another revenue and another area that you that fans could also get involved in, and will also help money to go to these bigger projects down the line. And I suppose it's all about having a pot of money down the line. Donal, I have a massive part here, and I said it's highlighted, and it's about players, but the first part is about the players who have left. And I thought, if ever there was a section for Donal to navigate without naming anybody, this is perfect.
I know.
So, look, the big news, obviously, that you know, we were stuck. Gally's mentioned already. The rumours went on and on about who the new owner was going to be. And then the next rumour, which followed after that, was about it, you know, number nine that used to be in Oriel Park. I'm trying my best to navigate around this one for you. That seemed to ramble on as well. That probably didn't help. Situation of where this club was going and what Stephen O'Donnell was going to be able to bring in or not. What's your take on the whole scenario? And you can mention without mentioning other players moving elsewhere also, if you want.
No, I'm okay mentioning certain, but like, I mean, I have no problem with Dickie Kelly. Like, he was an excellent player for a couple of seasons. Maybe yeah, he did play up front a couple of times. I think some of the rumors might have started before the owner rumors. Anyway, so it did take a while, but I think, look, he's...
Dylan's got a new thing coming. All I want to know is anyone interested in bringing back Lily the Panda. Donald, this is perfect for you.
Yeah, then, you notice...
Entertainment Ben during the week, and then Oriel Park on Friday. Perfect.
Yeah, excellent. So he left anyway, and we're gonna spell it Whoban. So Pat Whoban, he left. But look, I think it was what he wanted by the sounds of things. It was, I guess, where the club decided that they had to come down on this. If he was under contract and was, well, it just depends on who you're talking to for whatever the reasons were that he's not around anymore, but he's not around anymore. And I think there's so many things
I gotta ask you this question.
I'm trying not to say anything that I should, that I want to say, but I probably won't be allowed in the podcast anymore if I say them. Anyway,
I think I'll be all right now at this stage.
I'm just hoping he doesn't come back and do an Adebayor when he's playing an Oriole.
And looks for you in the crowd specifically. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he has access to some private conversations that I've had, he probably would come looking for me. But he's no proof that I said any of them. But look, he's away, and we just need to move on. It's one of those things where we can't expect anyone to come in and take his place, because he's like a legendary figure at the football club, and he'd always have his name etched in the history. Like, and that's the thing, in a couple of years, like when he's retired or whatever, and he comes back, he'd be welcomed back like an absolute hero and a legend, because he is and has been for the football club for such a long time. I think the way he left is a bit messy, and it's kind of upset some people, and it rubbed people the wrong way, both sides. The people expected the sun, moon, and stars to keep him, and some people thought, no, look, we're better off letting him go now rather than letting him go for free next year. So he should be welcomed back at some point as a legend at the football club, and I'm sure he will be. But I'm really, really not looking forward to seeing him playing against him, because I was trying to compare it to other things that have happened. And like, we didn't see him play for somebody else before.
No.
Like, he's like a weird League of Ireland unicorn that he only really played for one club. So we didn't see him come and play against us before. And I think I'm saying more than you think I'm saying. But yeah, it'll be weird to see him playing against us, and I'm not looking forward to it. So there you go.
That was quite well navigated for a bit. anyone interested in the development lotto, David Caldwell just throw something into the comments on my Facebook page with a link to that if anyone wants to get involved. So David, I did remember to mention it tonight at least, and we'll mention it again each week going forward from as well. Kelly, look, there has been a drain out of probably some of the main stakes in the club over the summer. You know, you think of the players that have left. You know, we've already mentioned Dickie, we've already mentioned Hooban. I'm going to name them all, I don't know. John Martin's gone, you know, Greg Sloggett, only just finding out then recently enough. And Senan Mullen, obviously, also moving on for as well. Maybe on the Senan and all these players, maybe is Captain Positivity, should we bring him in?
Captain Positivity.
No. I'm gone again. Good luck.
Welcome, Steph.
You needed to help me out with that Hooban answer, Steph. You're a couple minutes late.
You said Sloggett and Mally was gone. I thought they hit. No.
No, they did go. Yeah. Conor Mally, he went to Sligo, funny enough.
They didn't have enough to go. Don't know.
Yeah. You know, and we haven't even talked about, you know, the loss of a goalkeeper also.
There's a few things to be said about that one too, but I'm not taking that one. Gally can take that one.
We picked
more from tiptoeing around the last one.
We picked up the keeper, but then we didn't.
There you go.
Yeah, that's it. That seems to be it.
Steph, I'll let you settle in for a second, but Gally, that's a lot of players that did leave the club. And that, you know, we counted up there 10, 11 players that, you know, Stevens had to bring in. As a result, then, for it, it's far from ideal, because I think if you look throughout the league, the teams that have the most settled squads tend to perform the best. You know, Stephen Kenny done it for years, just adding one or two players to it and keeping a core at the club. But this, unfortunately, has meant that we've had a fair few players leave and have to come back, and he's had to rebuild the squad all over again.
Yeah, it's a massive upheaval, and it's not so much the numbers, it's the caliber of the players. You know, like, I mean, you know, I know we've mentioned Patrick, but I mean, like, players like Greg Sloggett, you know, I know it's for different reasons. Look, he's gone over to Cheltenham and the misses plays in England. That's, look, you understand that as well. But, you know, players like that they're the ones you're going to really need to be looking at now for the gap to be filled in the middle of the park. I think, you know, Stevie's had his work cut out for him. But that's what I was saying at the start of the show. It's not like we've had situations where we've signed players really late. Was that only last year we signed players like the first week? Yeah, it was, because of Muller and all them. But I think we've done something similar this year. But there seems to be a bit more caliber about these players. I'm only going on what I've read and what, you know, you see on kind of threads and stuff. But to have that kind of upheaval, years ago was a regular thing in League of Ireland, where you just, the whole squad was wiped and the best of the best went somewhere else. And then, like you say, Chris, Stephen Kenny came in and we kind of grounded a few down. But unfortunately, I think we're going to have that. You know, we'll get 2 years maybe out of these players. There's certain players, the goalkeeper, you know, the midfielders, Pat, obviously, look, it's a massive thing. But I think Stevie's done really well. And from what I can see on the players we've had, one or two haven't gone off the frighteningly good starts. But, you know, it's a big, especially if you're trying to fight up the higher end of the table, to change a whole, you practically change 75% of the squad, you know, especially if you're starting squad as well. You know, we'd see what the lineup's going to be on Saturday night, but it's a massive turnaround. But I think it could be the benefit of them. I think, you know, let's just clear, you know, you're not clearing the decks, but, you know, you're getting rid of players, not rid of players, that's the wrong term, but you're changing up to the point where, you know, you've got a clean slate for someone. Like, it's going to benefit players like Cammy Elliott. You know, it's going to benefit players like this who might get more of a run than he would have got last season. You know, we've lost kind of a Townend favourites in Greg Sloggett, John Martin, but, you know, Darragh Leahy, I don't know if you mentioned Darragh Leahy, that's another one gone as well. You know, a youth international player and whatever. But yeah, and we've kept, you know, Doyle, we've kept the likes of, like, Archie Davis, for me, I couldn't believe, having him for another season, or I don't know what the contract is, but
I think he had a 2-year deal.
Yeah, that's a good new signing. Like, I mean, we would have swore blind here on the last show last year. He would have been gone. Somebody would have come in and took him. Even higher standards in the League of Ireland, we just assumed. You know, you've got Robbie Benson, you know.
Is there a higher standard?
The league, well, not for us, no. Well, depends what game you look at last year. Leinster League was some of the higher standards. But we just assumed these players would go. We obviously heard about Sheps. You know, that was kind of a, look, we can go around. At the end of the day, it's the same with Pat. It's done now. It's gone. We've got our goalkeeper in this evening, just, what, 90 minutes ago, 2 hours ago. But I just think there seems to be a bit of a, and I'd like to watch myself back in the first episode of last. I've been very dangerous of repeating myself here, but I just think there seems to be a bit more bounce about this squad, if that makes sense. There's, even though some of them are unknown, I just think they seem to have a little more bit about them. Now, I don't want to be predicting for the season, but yeah, and that's it. And they seem to be Stevens. They seem to have done the homework on them. Now, they've probably done the homework on somebody. Like, even mentioned, there's someone who got off the top of it, Sam Durant. Players like that who've, you know, we've kept Ryan O'Kane. You know, you hear different things about, you know, and obviously Stephen Todd has mentioned that Curtil sedan that's gone over to Turin. That's a player that's going to really, it's things like that annoy me more, because, you know, these players could really be absolute warriors for Dundalk, and obviously going on to massive, massive heights. But we need to be keeping these young players at the squad. We don't want this kind of turnover every year. But, you know, I think we've kept I think we've kept a strong base that he's built kind of around it. You know, there's one or two you're not happy with, but look, that's football. I mean, unfortunately, we're not the team that we were. So we can't hang on to these players like a Rovers can, maybe, or a Derry. This is just the way it is now. And I don't really have a massive problem with it. I think, look, there's one or two wanted to go, one or two we couldn't keep. That's fine. Look, let's move on and let's kickstart with the new players. I think we've done really well. You know, you look at Mahan, you know, Scott High seems to be a really, you know, from what you read, seems to be really, really top youngster. Bradshaw as well. Boy looks like he's 6 shoulders, he's that big. You know, like, boys are built like bricks. You know, you've also got local talent, Mayo signing contracts. That's what kind of what we're looking for. You know, McLaughlin getting pre-season football. I just think it's going to be, well, just looking really forward for a good season. I think Stevie's done really, I think they've done really well considering what, you know, not many teams would, you know, come back and kind of even compete or try and compete with the players they've lost. And yeah, look, I'm looking forward to the season with these new players. I think it's going to be something a little bit different for everybody, but I think it's to our benefit long term.
So 1-1 in the league, Ali.
Well, I sat here on first year and said we're going to win the league after the President's Cup.
The BB's highlight, though. It all went downhill from there. Steph, your just thought on, you know, the overall, having to overhaul, I suppose, that the whole squad, players leaving and the quality that's come in.
Yeah, well, look, it's hard to know. I don't really like judging players on, you know, where they've been, or because, you know, you could have somebody that looks a world beater on paper, and then when you look at them, you're sort of scratching your head going, you know, I just like to wait for 2-3 games in to sort of judge people. I think we all jumped the gun and judged Shepherd off his Malone Cup game, and we had a bit of egg on our faces after that. So it's hard to know where the squad's at, to be honest with you. And even if we had lost every preseason game 9-0, like, you could still hit the ground running and, you know, pick up a load of wins at the start of the season, or vice versa. You could be flying in pre-season, and next of all, you're looking around after 3 or 4 games going, what the hell's going on? Where are we going from here? But it's just a big unknown for me. Like, you don't know the majority of the players coming in. You can only just go and look where they've come from, or, you know, what sort of level they've played at. But I honestly don't. If nothing will surprise me, to be honest, if we're in the bottom three after 5 or 6 games, or if we're in the top three after 5 or 6 games, I'll be just like, I've just no expectation or no, I don't know what word to put in it, but yeah, not like, it's just hard to know when you don't know the players coming in. Obviously, we still have a few there that, like Boiler and Benson, and then, you know, if Mountney plays, and I think we were all surprised when he was named as captain, because he obviously never played last season through the bad injury, and then the season before he'd only played a handful of games as well. So I think that was a bit of a surprise. Not for the character he is, because look, we spoke to him on the awards night, and we know he'd big influence on players, even though he wasn't playing last season or whatever. So you can understand from that point of view, but it was a bit of a surprise that he got named like club captain. You would have thought, you know, Andy Boyle was sort of vice captain last year. You would have thought he would just stepped in and maybe put John vice captain. But look, you never know what's going to happen as the days goes on. Obviously, I haven't been up at any games yet myself, so I haven't been able to run the rule over any of the new players yet. But like I said, they're all just getting minutes in. There's a few Leinster Senior Cup games. It's good to see them back. But again, I think Dundalk will treat them as pre-season. We've seen them putting out the under-20s, and it was great for them to feel like, you know, they were part of the first team. And look, some of them will possibly push themselves in the shop window from the performance they put in. 0-0, I know, it was against the Bulls under 20 team as well, but, you know, to be on that stage as well, it's great. Used to love when the League Cup games would come around, and you'd be thinking, you know, I might get a chance here to get minutes, and, you know, when Flano actually fucking give me a chance, you know.
Donal, something we've always mentioned on the pod here as well is, you know, the talent within the town getting that opportunity. You know, Steph and Gary have kind of touched on it as well, you know, but like Owen Kenny seems to have kind of really taken his chance here in pre-season. He scored, you know, a good goal against Drogheda, could have maybe had another. He's been leading the line on his own at times during those pre-season matches as well. We've seen Maioa come back in the defence, obviously. You know, there was whatever issue kind of blocked them from getting any sort of opportunities at the latter end of last year. But he seems to come back kind of revitalised, is one way to put it, kind of this year. And then you still got the likes of, you know, Luke Mulligan and stuff like that to come back in as well. And Sean Keogh as well. I think he played in the Bulls match, didn't he, the under 20 selection as well. Like, you know, from having little to none to all of a sudden having 4 or 5 academy players kind of making their way through, it's great to see.
Yeah, and I think, like, obviously some of them stood out. Like, Owen Kenny's obviously going to stand out, not just because he's the Prince, but, you know, I thought he played really well in the couple of games that I got to see him in over the preseason. He was very unlucky not to score in both games, as you said, like at the Crossbar and the Longford game. So he looks like, now whether, you know, the plan is to get him more minutes, or like we've brought in a couple of strikers now, so I don't know how many or where in the pecking order he's gonna land. But I think Maioa as well was he saw Maioa again in the Longford game, and you were just struck by like just the physical attributes that he has. He's so big and he's so quick that he's got all the tools to be like a really top like centre back or defensive midfielder, whichever position he wants to play in. But again, it's just whether we can get them the minutes. Like I think obviously it wasn't last season, but season before that we were talking about how few games there were going to be because we didn't have Europe, and that you could get dumped out of a cup in the first round and suddenly it's just the league games and we've got all these players that are vying for positions, and it's how do you balance it out with giving youngsters meaningful minutes? Because it's great that they got the Leinster Senior Cup game, but you do want them to get more meaningful games so to get more of a feel for what it's properly like to play in like pressure situations. So hopefully we can get minutes for them. And I think the idea of locking some of them down to contracts is great, because that's something that we haven't been as good at in the last few years. So I think it shows a bit of forward planning that maybe a few years ago wasn't there, in terms of like players that aren't getting into the first team squad, but they know the potential is there. Like they're the ones that you need to get locked down, because they're obviously playing in youth games and stuff like that. So I think it's the balancing act of obviously picking your best 11 every week, but trying to get some of these lads some minutes so they can properly grow into the team and grow into the squad. So I would be like really interested to see Owen Kenny playing a bit more, because I was properly impressed with his movement and everything around. As I said before, I thought the night that they had O'Kane, Horgan and himself up front, that they looked really quick and really good. So yeah, I'd be curious to see a bit more of him, but it's good that it definitely seems like there's forward planning involved in this, and it's not just reacting to somebody's looking for one of our players, so let's sign them up. Like it seems like there's a little bit more thinking involved in that aspect of things, which is good for the club.
I think just the two players that Donald touched on there, Maioa and Kenny, like both of them went on loan last season as well. So I know Maya was the first half of last season where he went to Dungannon Swifts, and you know, I think he's just keeping an eye on him. He sort of struggled for game time at the start, but then they went through a sticky patch and he came in, and there was a bit of an upturn in results for them. So look, that would have done him the world of good. I think we've seen a good few snippets of how Kenny got on at Wexford as well. So it's no surprise. Look, there's no substitution for playing competitive minutes at that senior level, even though it might be a first division or, you know, the lower end of the Premier Division up north. Like, you know, to be playing in the senior league against men like that, that's invaluable. And I think that will probably stand to them coming into this season especially. And look, we'll probably have to rely on them, because I reckon the will play minutes. I know Donald's talking about where they're going to be in the pecking order, but like, you know, we're not stacked with loads of bodies in certain positions, and then, you know, they still have to settle down, they still have to perform as well. So look, you'd like to imagine there's going to be chances for the two lads, especially with them being local lads as well. You know, we've gone from pinning our hopes on Galley's child to, you know, spreading it out a wee bit. And, you know, we've a couple of lads there that, you know, you can, not that you don't get behind the rest of them, but you feel a different connection to somebody from the town as well. So come on to town.
It's like a party political broadcast on behalf.
I'm just rallying the troops, you know. You built me up there, you know, the confidence man and optimism. Rally the troops.
Kelly, it could be something that maybe feeds in as an opportunity for some of these players, because I think when you look at Maioa, you're probably thinking, what's his best position? Is it as a defensive midfielder? Is it as a centre back? You know, we could be in a situation like we've seen probably Paul Doyle play the majority of the preseason games in that role, but unfortunately, you know, Paul had a big injury last year as well, and
yeah,
you'd be thinking who can fill into that role. And we, you know, a big stature of a player like Maioa might actually benefit us in that position, and also give us just maybe a different outlet, because I think it was the Longford game, we were looking like a lot of distribution had come through Maioa.
Going through him, yeah.
You know, his range of passing was excellent that night. I don't.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's an option. Even we were looking at the lineups earlier on, it never even dawned on me that he could play. I think, did he play his first game in the centre of the park with under Vinny? Did he play his CDM there that night as well? He's definitely got all the attributes for it. He's an athlete. I mean, it's not even just the football. He's an absolute athlete. But he's definitely someone, you know, we definitely need to be looking at playing more minutes. Like the boys have just said, it just echoes Kenny as well. Kenny can also play in the right, you know, if needed as well. Now, I don't know how many, like, I'm trying to think off the top, you know, your wingers we have, you're better than it last year. It's the options. And I think, you know, we have been shrewd probably, well, we have, and Stephen has, in signing players that can play, you know, has those little bit of, like, even if you take your man Bradshaw, Zach Bradshaw as well, he's the same, like an athlete, you know, is all there, look, and keen to play football, young age on loan from Lincoln. I think he could be a 6-month loan, is he? But the likes of having Maioa there as an option, you know, you've got Doyle again, like you say, Chris, it's suffered injuries. You've also got Benson if needed, but he wouldn't be more of your defensive kind of minded player. But, you know, most centre backs now probably can be used in the league as a CDM, because the way they're trained now, they're always the football and centre backs, so you always have that option. But he can definitely play more than comfortably in that kind of, dare I say it, Chris, I'll whisper it, Chris Shields role. I do think he'll be a centre back long term, but I definitely think he's an option. And you just want to see these players get minutes. You really do. Like Ryan O'Kane was kind of thrust in upon us very early. I mean, I think even Tiernan, who's now left Oriel, obviously going to the other team down the road. He was surprised at the minutes Ryan O'Kane was getting. You know, they didn't think he was ready, but injuries were forced and he was in, and like, he hasn't really looked back. And you're really hoping Mayo gets a chance. We mentioned him here last year. We'd obviously mentioned Steph knows well better than anybody, Manny, who left to go to the other team as well and is now making the big time over in England. These are players that never got a crack at it. Like, well, they did. I mean, the talent was there. They just never got the minutes we wanted to see them in. And like, we've obviously had young Mullen go as well. But the likes of Maioa, I think he's definitely, this is the season for him. I think he could play more than we think. Because I think there's going to be we've suffered in that area for injuries. And I think he's definitely an option for people. Yeah, he's going to be a real great asset coming off the bench. I know you all mentioned Mountney there earlier on. I really don't know where the likes of, I know we're not talking about him, but I don't know, even Stefan mentioned captaincy. Look, it's a great for a player like that. But where he would fit in, I've absolutely no idea. I think he's definitely a marauder and right back or right wing, but whether he starts on this team, I don't see it in myself. But look, that's, what do I know? I thought Archie Davis was terrible last year, the first game of the season, and I've never lived it down since.
Steph, is it something that, you know, Stephen O'Donnell has identified in the players he's brought in? Like, it seems to be a lot of these players can play a multitude of positions. Like, is that for a fluidity of different systems and being able to play, because it was at times last year were we just too rigid to the way we had to play, and this I think gives us a lot more options.
I think that's the sort of profile of player that Stephen O'Donnell has signed. There has been a lot of players that you're sort of saying, you know, where is his best position? Even Hogan coming back, like, he was a left winger when he left Dundalk, but then when he came back into us, he was playing the 10, he started in the 10, then he was on the left, then he was on the right at certain times last year as well. So, look, I think there's that sort of profile. He likes a player that can play in a few multiple positions. There's a lot of the players, maybe bar a few of the centre-halves, you could probably say, You could see Archie Davis probably playing as a right winger or even centre mid, driving runs with the ball. I'm not too sure of the Scottish kid to come in left back, but if he's riding forward down the left, you'd imagine he'd be able to play left wing as well. So yeah, it seems to be a trait of Stevie's that he likes the same players that can play in multiple positions. And look, it does no harm when injuries start to build up or suspensions and different things. Like we've seen Benson now play a left back a good couple of times last season as well. A few things like that you would have never seen previously. It would have been a lot more rigid under previous regimes that shall not be mentioned.
This might be the perfect time. So we're trying to contemplate who could actually start for us next Friday in Tallaght Stadium. So look, we've a couple of ideas of who, Gally, I think your selection is up first on this one. It's funny because as we talked, I kind of kept thinking, got to put that person in my team, got to put that person in my team, that person in my team. So I have a funny feeling as we put these up, we're probably talking ourselves out of players, out of position. And other players.
I definitely have, I'd have one contentious one. There would be one I would debate. You could swap for either or, but yeah. I think for the game that it is, I don't know if you can even see that. So, like, I because of who the opposition is and where, like Steph had just mentioned, Robbie Benson. We were talking about this. I thought he pulled off a masterstroke here having Robbie Benson, but then we all thought of it at the same time, but I'd already had him in. I just think for the experience of the game, the type of game that it is, a goalkeeper aside, I think Shelby's going to be, I don't want to be talking too much out of turn here, but, I think he's going to be our number one because this is what they've been advocating for the last couple of weeks. No, and it's no disrespect to Munro. Now, look, we could get the shock of our lives and Munro starts Friday night. But I think Davis Boyle, there's an argument there for Mayo at centre-back. I just don't think in a game like that, Steph will argue with me, but I just don't see him starting. For the way Stevie sets up, I just don't see him playing like that. And I just think Benson at left-back is the option because Walker's about 12, so I just don't see him starting in a game. Because the game that it is, if it was, and no disrespect to anybody, if it was even a Galway, an up-and-coming Galway or a Waterford, I think the more experience you have on this pitch, the better. Like, Gullen doesn't have a lot of experience. It doesn't have any experience in League of Ireland, but when you look at his rate, when you look at his games in Scotland, I'm jumping ahead of the midfield, but there's plenty of experience in that team. Man's been here before, Daryl Hogan. The interesting one would probably be Austin Brink. I haven't really seen him play. I don't know whether he's better or deeper, but he seems to be a baller. He seems to be a playmaker in midfield. I don't know if that Stone has probably seen more than I have. But, I mean, you could mix and match that midfield, but I would definitely have Benson at left-back simply for the game that it is. It's not that he shouldn't be playing midfield, but definitely just for the match that it is and who he's going to be coming up against. I think that would be my... Left-back's probably the biggest decision probably of the lot, really. In my opinion, other boys will differ.
I'm absolutely shocked at one omission you've left out.
I think we can all say it at the same time.
Yeah.
The child.
Where's the child?
Where's the child? I think...
Jesus.
No, Mahan for me would start against what Rovers have at the back.
Far.
Yeah. No, Ryan O'Kane coming off the bench against Rovers is better than Ryan O'Kane starting.
That's a Jerry Malone call if every hair on.
Yeah, I just think that to be my... I'm not saying Stevie might go... He probably had a different level, but that would be my pick for the game that it is. It's not for the... Like, if it was playing... Like, even if you take a Bowes team, I think Ryan O'Kane runs them ragged at fullback, but Rovers are so strong. I just think Mahan getting at them early. If I was actually going to swap him out for anybody, it'd be Hogan. If I was going to swap O'Kane out for anybody. But that would be my... For the game that it is, for the opposition that it is, they'd be mine.
That's fair enough, Gully.
No, I would have probably put two in midfield and one up higher, but I didn't have that option on that bloody app, Chris, in what we were set up.
All right, lads, don't give out, lads. It was already preset.
It's good. Like... Fair play.
I had 7 at the back.
Donal, talk us through yours.
Yeah, so look, the left back was, I guess, going to be not a contentious one, but I had also thought of Benson at left back, but then I was looking at the way they played in pre-season games and thinking about the experience and where you need the experience the most in a game like Friday night. And I think having Benson in midfield with his experience is more, I guess, more to me, more important than the experience at left back. I think the away to them is a bit of a, it's been a bit of a weird fixture for us the last couple of seasons under Stevie. Like we've gone and put the reserves out one week, and like just not that we didn't try, they obviously tried, but it wasn't the team any of us were expecting. Mm-hmm. And I think we just haven't played well there the last couple of years. So I wouldn't be surprised if the team that starts the following week at Galway is not completely different, but there'd be a good few changes between Friday night and the home game at Galway. But I'd imagine going with Cammy up front because he's...
You trust him?
Yeah, he trusts him. He's been there for a year. He knows the ins and outs. He knows how the system works. It's not a new experience for him. There's obviously going to be a little bit of hesitancy to put too many new players into a game like that. So obviously the back four, except for Walker left back, is what you'd expect. I think Monroe's played the games in pre-season, so I'd imagine he just gets to start. If it goes well, it goes well. Yeah, I think just being in and around the camp is good enough to, like, they obviously trust him enough to play in the game, so, or in the pre-season game. So I think give him the start and see how it goes. I think Austin Brink is, like Gaddy was saying, I think Austin Brink could be, like, a really, really, really good player for us this season. I think I liked a lot of what I saw of him. Against Drogheda and his use of the ball and his ability to get the ball and quick passes, quick straight line passes to like wingers and forwards, which was, I guess, lacking sometimes. And one of the major criticisms that we had for last season was about sideways passes and going backwards and not getting forward enough and not being dynamic enough with the ball. And I think that's something he seems like he's going to be really good at. So I'm excited to see how he gets on. But yeah, like there's, you could make arguments for a few others, but that's nailed on 100% the 11 that's starting Friday night. So I don't even know why we're having a conversation about the rest of them.
who leaked you the team sheet on?
I won't say.
Let's see.
And Flano makes a good point there. I think, I don't know if it was all the game, but definitely two of them anyway. He definitely did play. Saw did play five at the back against Rovers. That's a good point to make as well. So it'll be interesting to see if that happens again.
I think, like I probably have a back four similar to Donal on this. I put Walker in just because he played that position. But yeah, you could easily see Robbie Benson play there as well. But I just thought having Robbie probably in the middle of the park on that, you know, an important game in Tallaght Stadium, having that sort of experience in the middle is ideal. And yeah, I went for Gullin up front as well, because I have a funny feeling, giving him the nine shirt and everything like that, he's to really see him leading the line. Mahan looks like a real baller. It'll be interesting that we didn't have this option, I think, that much last year, that on the right we'll have a real, you know, exciting attacking player, and probably the one you'll interchange that could be Sam Durant in there as well. So you'll probably go from one,
yep,
or a defender, you're going from one energetic player to another. And that's something we probably didn't have last year. We probably went, you know, to a completely different type of player. But that'll just kind of keep the pressure on. And I'm thinking the same as yourself, Gally. I'm thinking, you know, Horgan probably starts, but O'Kane gets in into that position as well. And that's, you know, they're real two real strong substitutes we could be making. And a reason I went with Doyle and Benson in the middle and just High as the only kind of new recruit in there. I'm not too sure if he would start two new recruits in the middle of the park in Tallaght Stadium was the other option I was thinking on that. So I've probably gone for a little bit more of what he knows in a few regular positions kind of on that. But I'd say there's probably still one or two up for grabs kind of on that. But I also think, though, that the signing of Shelby today is a real sign that, you know, he'll want Shelby to be number one, and he's coming from Forest, you know, a real high level as well. So I think
John Joe
Shelby. Yeah.
Who would you? We haven't got your staff. Who would you stick in there? What change would you make now?
I don't even know the whole squad, to be honest with you. So I'd probably pick I'd pick Chris's back line, Galley's midfield, and Donald's attacking force.
Would you be able to see the game from the fence you're sitting on? Or
look, I think I'd have to go. I think that back four that you have up there, Chris, is probably going to be the one that's going to be out there. I think you have to play a left back. Although I think it mightn't be out of the realms of possibility that he'll play a five at the back.
Yeah.
Not one person's put Muller in. I don't know if he's had a bad preseason, but he played a lot of minutes for Stevie last season, and he's still here. I don't know if he comes into the reckoning. The midfield, you could probably just fire three darts at anybody that's available, and they could be the ones that could start. I do like Doyle a lot. He did get injured. Benson has the experience. And then it's probably like Hayes only probably come in last week, was it, or the week before, possibly? Yeah. Has he played any minutes? Yeah, preseason.
Behind the closed doors, I think in the Derry match, I think it might have been the only one.
Yeah. Well, look, so he's not played a whole lot. It'd be a big ask for anyone like that to come straight in against like the, what is it, 3.5 league champions. They've won it 3.5 years in a row. Look, Mahon, anyone I've been speaking to, he was over at Motherwell with Ross Tierney, and Manny is living with Ross Tierney over in Walsall, and said that Mahon's electric, lightning quick. I think the boys are mates, so he's probably going to big him up to the last, but he reckons he's going to, you know, he's everything going for him to have a great season with us. I'm not sure about the number nine. I don't think Kenny will start, though. I think it's a big game for him to lead the line. So again, this Northern Irish under-21 international, McGuckin, I'm hearing good things about him, but again, I haven't seen him. So Gullen seems to be the most experienced out of them. I know Cam Elliott was with us last season, but is he gonna trust him to play up there? Gullen seems to. He was handed the number nine shirt, so you reckon like he's gonna be, like Chris said, he's gonna be the main man, and then Hogan O'Kane. I don't know. I'd go with Ken, honest with you. I know Hogan has more experience and stuff like that, but I don't know. Where do you
think then, if you take High out of the middle of the park, then do you play something like Oosterbrink or something that's probably played?
Who? What's the other options? Oosterbrink's one anyway, and then
you probably have. Oh, Dara Keane, lads, is the other one we possibly haven't really talked about.
Yeah, he hasn't been mentioned at all. I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
Or you put Don Moutney in there and get yourself.
He could play Hogan in the false nine and play O'Kane at left, you know.
Yeah.
The good news is you've got, like, you have options, you know what I mean? It's not like, well, that's the, like, even Keith, you know, he said it's hard to judge Dundalk. You know, they brought in some, you know, a lot of players and it's a lot of change, but at least, you know, it is for a game like that. It's probably it could be the worst game to play, but I think it's a better game to play now. You know, this game, first game of the season, Rovers, let's get at them early and see what we're at. But you know, at least we have the options now of saying, right, well, like even Steph said there's so many possibilities there, we could actually change it over. And Stevie has those options. So, you know, I don't think you can just throw anybody out the field either because you have options. But you know, the probably one that's up for debate as well, you know, O'Kane, and then the left back as well. But I just the experience of it. I think there's enough in midfield, provided we have, you know, we know Manuel injuries or anything. But you know, I think the Thales office will could suit the footballers that we have. But yeah, look, it's
the proverbial free hit, isn't it?
Like, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Nobody's expecting us to go up there when. I remember a few seasons ago we were in a similar position going into the President's Cup, and we were all shocked after that game. I think think Big Sonny Delight was a fan favourite of yours, Gally, after that. Too funny, he should have got sent off for a but anyway, did Pingu send in his predictions or no?
No, he just jumps in there when he feels like it. Here he comes. Just
is he able to talk?
Bring him in there. She'll bring him in, we find out. Put him on the spot.
Pingu, what's the crack?
Are you getting on? I want to agree with everything that Steph said, because if you name every player, it could be him or it could be him, you're going to be right with someone. So I'm just going to go with Steph's prediction. Fucking hell, he named every player on the squad.
That's experience, Dean.
And then I can,
that's experience, Dean. And then I can go back now next week and say, I told you so.
There you go.
Right, get rid of him again, will you?
Pigger, just a question on changes then, I suppose, in ownership, player-wise, and recruitment, those we've lost and those we've brought in. What's your overall feeling?
Ask me that question again at 9:30 on Friday, and I'll tell you, I'm a little bit like Steph there. I didn't get to see a lot of preseason. I haven't been able to see the squad at all, so it's hard to gauge. But I mean, you start of every season, you're optimistic, aren't you? You know, there's always that bit of optimism, and I suppose you'll just see how it goes. But from what I'm hearing, you know, from behind the scenes, everybody seems very happy with the squad that they've put together. And I know there's a lot of Dundalk fans have been complaining, and our old mate Live at Oriel, every time a player from a League of Ireland club signs for another player from a league or another signs for another League of Ireland club, he's given out that we didn't go for them. But there's a little bit of, there's something nice in that you're not just going through the League of Ireland merry-go-round every year, you know. And, mm-hmm. and this year, we obviously have a few loan signings, but there seem to be, compared to the last two, there's more players that are here on permanence, and it'll be exciting to see where they end up at the end of the season, won't it?
Very interesting, yeah.
Your thoughts on the ownership then as well, Ingrid?
Yeah, again, you're just going to have to see how it goes. I mean, there's a big part of it moving forward. I think he's putting an emphasis on the community side, and he wants to get that side right. I think getting the fans back involved, you know, I've made no bones, and I think we haven't on the podcast since 2012. When has there been supporter involvement? You know, the glory years kind of paper over the cracks of there's been no supporter involvement. That's something that he says he wants to do, and for me, that's the barometer that I'll measure him with, right?
I think since you know, being with Chicago Fire, you've become very measured in your responses now. It's, you're giving us match of the day answers back. I like this.
It's media training, Chris.
That's the word. Stay inside.
The rest of what it is. on the lineups, we're trying to guess players in certain positions, but do you feel that he'll stick with the tried and tested players that he's had from last year, Pingu, or do you think he'll throw a couple of wild cards in there?
I mean, it's Stevie, so there'll always be a wild card in there. Like, it just, even when we have a tried and tested and we have a settled squad, he was always liable to throw in a little wild card. But I would think you would think the tried and tested are going to be there. I'd be interested to see, does Mountney start? I didn't get to listen to all the podcasts, but obviously he's club captain, and you don't want your club captain to be sitting in the stands. So I don't even know if he's injured or not. Could be way off the mark there, but you would think he's going to litter it with experience and just bed some of the players in. I think that's been an issue the last two seasons, hasn't it? Where mm-hmm. we have had a few injuries going into the first game of the season, and a lot of these young lads, it's been a baptism of fire, and you would hope, especially against Rovers, he's gonna put some heads in there that I've played before. I did hear a rumour before I got on that S. McEvitt is going to be a late addition, just to add a little bit more experience to the squad. I think he scored one goal, or he set up a goal with Glenmuir, and I haven't heard the end of it since. So from what I hear, he might be a late addition to the squad for Friday night.
You've heard that much about it. I told you that much about it. You don't know if it was a goal or assist.
Exactly.
Exactly. You're talking shit.
I do remember when he missed the penalty, though.
I love the way when he was slagging. I love the way he was slagging me off, and then he said that, yeah, Stevie's going to go with the wild card pick, and then he started talking about all the experience he was going to put in the team. He's gonna do both, is he?
It's a bit like you picking the squad, Steph. It could be Horgan or Ryan O'Kane. Just pick one, Steph. Come on.
I said O'Kane. You must have been listening.
Well, if ever there was a reason to wrap this up, and this is it.
Just leave the two boys in here. We'll go. Leave them chatting. We'll just leave.
So we're like, it's like the bloodline. Me and Steph are falling out like the bloodline, but we'll come together to annihilate the team on Friday night.
It'll be an offshoot of the Town End podcast. It's a Town End After Dark, and just Steph and Pinky just have an argument. So it doesn't matter what comments anyone puts in; they're not going to listen and read them anyway. But
there's a solicitor on that show as well, isn't it? There's a solicitor sitting in with them just to make sure they don't step out of line too far out of line.
We've gone on enough tonight, and I suppose we'll know a lot more on Friday night after the match in Tallaght Stadium against Shamrock Rovers in our opening game of the season. Just we'll take this opportunity once again to thank Donal Green back on board with Dundalk Village again for our main sponsor of the podcast again this year. This is when I turned around to you, Steph, and I said, Steph, how's things looking with Vinny? Are we back in for our pizza? And you look at me and say, I'm going to get on to that straight away.
Yeah, I know Vinny will be good. He's a big supporter of ours, and they've recently picked up an award. I can't remember exactly which award it was, but probably the best trippy ever in the history of the whole world or something like that.
Best pizza in the country award.
So there you go.
There you go.
Congratulations to all the team. Then Tony Pizzeria.
Well done, boys.
And then, we're back obviously with Player Fit. We might just do a mid-season shirt for something new for this year as well. So we'll put our heads together for that. I did see in the questions as well, some people asking any update on our sponsor Player. I think when we add in just the extra one or two that we had there, I think we're probably there now for it. So just stay tuned to the socials, I would say, and we'll just contact the club and find out the players still available to ourselves, and we will definitely be sponsored. Definitely more than enough people in our club. So we'll be back on that again, and which means Gally's Wheel of Names will be back at the end of the season once again for Donald's win. Wait.
Roll on October. Come on.
Just give me the jersey now.
Well, look, lads. Cheers for everyone jumping on. Cheers, Pingu, for dialing in from over afar and being as media trained and as savvy as you are this year. I'm looking forward to your input.
Cheers, lads.
Excellent. Thanks, everyone, for all the comments tonight. As I said, we were more just trying to get ourselves back into the groove of it. So thanks for the amount of comments that come in there. Good to see. I think we did get some in on Twitter. So they've been blocked for the past season or two, but they're back this year. So that'll probably add to those post-match show again, or X, as it now is. Steph, Donal, Pingu, Gally, thanks, lads. Till next time, come on the town.